Ted.
Hi, Fred.
Well, I think it's fair to say that it's a popular piece. Is it, from your critical perspective, also a good piece?
Fred, it's a very, very good piece indeed. Every time I come back to it, I'm impressed all over again with how well Holst handled the assignment he gave himself here, which was to write a work for large orchestra, very large orchestra, that reflected the character of the planets, but not their celestial or astronomical aspects, rather the character associated with them in astrology and mythology. When this recording came out, no one was really sure what to expect from a conductor who specialized in early music. But he is, after all, an English conductor and one who grew up in the tradition. In fact, he had a family connection to the very first performance of this music.
Right, his father, Henry Balfour Gardner, conducted the first private reading of the piece. So,
but he approaches it not so much as routine work, but as in the same way that he does Bach or Handel. He goes and digs stuff out of the score, and he finds all these wonderful things there to bring out, and he gets the players to really play on the edge of their seats, to pay attention to dynamics and articulations, voicings, all the things you would expect from a performance in early music. It's here as well. So it's like it's all fresh.
And there's a wonderful English feel in the movement Jupiter. Now, this is Jupiter, and you can really hear it's Jupiter, the bringer of jollity, in this performance. Some conductors take it a little slower, a little more stately tempo. This really feels jolly and like an English folk song.
Exactly. I mean, there's that instinctive feel for the English folk idiom that Gardner has and which the players of the Philharmonia Orchestra pick up quite naturally. This is Jupiter, but it's also the English countryside. Make no mistake about it.
He had such great grasp of writing for brass. And in this section of Mars, you hear so many different brass voices, and each one is distinctive. It's not like I'm just writing for the brass section and it's one big blat.
Pay attention particularly to the solo for tenor tuba. This is a high tuba, and it doesn't sound like what we think of when we think of tuba. It sounds like a kind of a wild baying French horn, and it really does get you the sense that these are the dogs of war that have just been let loose on the orchestra.
That high stretching voice of the tenor tuba, then you have the full-throated horns, then you have the snarling trumpets, and all very distinctive in this section from Mars, the Bringer of War, from Gustav Holst's The Planets. This 1994 recording, John Elliott Gardner leading the Philharmonia Orchestra, and this recording is on the Deutsche Grammophon label, I should say. One of the details that really jumps out at me in this recording is a little tiny moment in Mercury, the Winged Messenger. It's a moment that can pass by very simply and easily, but this recording just gave me a little shiver. That's such a simple little moment, and it flies by, but it gives me a thrill the way that scale gets passed up through the winds.
Yeah, at the very end of that passage, we heard just a few measures. He trades off through about 8 different instruments in the woodwind section. Don't try that with strings. But he understood how effective woodwinds are at doing this sort of thing. Quick little scurrying groups of 4 notes interlocking with one another to create the effect of a seamless scale that changes color as it goes up.
Let's hear an entire section from The Planets. Let's hear Venus, the Bringer of Peace. Ted, what are we going to hear?
I'm going to hear a movement that's the antithesis of the suite's opening movement, where Mars is full of angry energy and loudness. This is soft English pastoral music, beautifully scored. It gives the heavy brass about 7 minutes of rest, which they need after Mars. But it also just shows what a brilliant orchestrator Holst was, getting these delicate airy effects. This is Venus, the bringer of peace.